We are holding on the bottom of Daf Kuf Chav Hey Amud Beis, four lines from the end of the page. We are first going to close up all of the conversations we were having up until this point about a Bechor being Notel Pishnayim, about a Baal getting Berotwi Kibbamuchsuk or not getting Berotwi Kibbamuchsuk, and about when Bechor being Notel Pishnayim in a Milva, whether a Milva is considered Roy or Muchsuk, and does it make a difference whether you're collecting Karka or Ma'os, and we're just going to paskin halachos in all of those conversations that we've been having up until this point, so we're just going to give a bottom line psak halacha. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when a Bechor even gets Pishnayim of the Shevach, meaning if that there's a certain circumstance where not only does the Bechor get Pishnayim of that which is Muchsak, but even Shevach that happens to the property afterwards that's built in the property, not even that happens Memela, Shevach that the Yisomim make in the property, sometimes a Bechor can get Pishnayim even of that, specifically when he already made his claim that he wants to get his Pishnayim before the Yisomim went ahead and improved the property. So then he's going to get Pishnayim even of the improvements. Then the Gemara is going to have a discussion about Bechor being mochel on his Pishnayim. He certainly has the ability to be mochel on his Pishnayim, but there's going to be a machlokas. If he's mochel on his Pishnayim of field X, does that mean he's automatically mochel on his Pishnayim of every other field as well? Or no, that's limited to field X, and it's not going to apply to all the other properties that he otherwise would get Pishnayim of. And the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the lumdus of such a machlokas is, meaning what would be behind each shita in terms of the principle of a Bechor getting Pishnayim. Then on Amud Beis we're going to have a Mishnah where a person identifies one child as a Bechor, so what words does he have to say to identify the child as a Bechor to warrant him to get Pishnayim? And but the Mishnah, actually the Mishnah, that's going to be the Gemara. The Mishnah is going to talk about if a person wants to make it that his Bechor does not get Pishnayim, or that the Dine Yerusha don't split up in the normal way. What does he have to say in order to make it happen that and not be in violation of being Masal Mashikasa B'Torah, of going against what it says in the Torah, in order to make it happen that that the Yerusha gets split up somewhat differently than the Dine Yerusha of the Torah? And that's going to lead us into a discussion about Masal Mashikasa B'Torah in general. Can you make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah? Then we're going to discuss what I mentioned before about identifying a Bechor. What words you have to say in order to identify the Bechor as the one who gets Pishnayim, because sometimes Bechor doesn't mean a Bechor who gets Pishnayim. Sometimes Bechor means the firstborn to his mother, but not the firstborn to his father, who would not get Pishnayim. And then at the very end, we probably won't get to it today, the Gemara is going to discuss what about a Bechor who, what type of Bechor maybe does not get Pishnayim, like a Tumtum, and these kinds of unusual situations. So let's begin with Amar Rav Papa, four lines from the end of the page on Daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amar Beis. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchasa Eina Baal Notel Baroika B'Muchsuk. Halacha is that a Baal does not get from the Yerusha of his wife if his wife was not yet Muchsuk in the property. He only gets that which she already had in her possession. Ve'ina Bechor Notel Baroika B'Muchsuk. And similarly, a Bechor also does not get that which was only Muchsuk, that which was only Ra'i to come to his father, but was not yet Muchsuk by his father. Ve'ina Bechor Notel Pishnayim B'Milva Bein Shagavakarka Bein Shagavamaos. A Bechor does not get Pishnayim of a loan, regardless of how that loan is paid back, whether it be paid with karka or whether it be paid with money. If you look at the bottom Rashbam on the page, Veina Bechor Notel Pishnayim B'Milva Va'afilu B'Shtar. Even if he has a shtar that says that the money was owed to the father, the Bechor still does not get Pishnayim of it, meaning we had that discussion that maybe that's considered to be Muchzak because you're holding on to the shtar, which is going to have all of that value. But Bein Shagav Karka, Bein Shagav Most, the Lav Hai Karka V'Lav Hani Mos Shavuklu Navun V'Avalei Ra'ui. As we pointed out in yesterday's daf, that it is not the same money or the same land that the father left over. It's whatever money or land this fellow is deciding to pay back his debts with, but that is not the actual land or the actual money that the father left over, and therefore it's only considered ra'oi, it's not considered muchzak. However, the Rashbam adds, if the father had taken a mashkon for the loan, then for sure the Bechor does get pishnayim, because if he's taken a mashkon, that automatically makes it like it's muchzak. In fact, that's what the Rashbam explained in yesterday's daf, is the hava amina when it comes to having a shtar, that one might have thought that a shtar has a din like a mashkon, and therefore Bechor should get pishnayim as long as there was a shtar that says that somebody owes him the money. So that's what we're passing. No, we don't say a shtar is a din of a mashkon, but a mashkon still has a din of a mashkon. If you actually have a mashkon, then in a chinami the Bechor is going to get pishnayim. And then, so all of those things were discussions we've already had, and we just come to a final psak right here in those discussions. And then the Gemara adds a new one. Umilva she'imo palgi. If the Bechor owes money to his father, so how much of that money that's owed to his father does he get to keep for himself? Does he get to keep pishnayim of that as well? Meaning maybe you can say that's called muchzak because the Bechor already himself has that money since he's the one that owes it to the father. So says the Gemara, palgi. Rashbam explains, what does that mean? Palgi, chelek Bechorah yachleku b'nehem. Certainly the chelek pashut goes to the brothers. But what about if let's say there are three brothers, they divide the and he owes $100. Certainly, they each get $25 off the top, right? Each of the three brothers get $25 off the top. What do you do with that fourth chelek, that fourth set of $25? Who gets that? So says the Gemara, Palgi, that means the Bechor splits that with the other brothers. Under normal circumstances, the Bechor would get Pishnaim, he would get the full 25, right? So the Bechor would get 50, each of the other brothers would get 25. So, but no, in this case, we split that last $25, and the Bechor gets 12 and a half, and the other two get 12 and a half of it. Palgi chelik Bechor yachliku b'neim. Iu ma'ake palga, v'nosinach of palga. He keeps half of it for himself, and he gives his brothers half of it. Davle mamon amutu b'safek v'cholkin. Why do they split it? Because this is mamon amutu b'safek. Why is it mamon amutu b'safek? Dein yadua ichashav muchzak la'aviv. We're not sure whether this should be considered money that the father was muchzak in, and therefore the Bechor does get pishnayim, or this should be considered money that was only ra'oi to come to the father, and therefore the Bechor would not get pishnayim. So we're not sure. The Ichash Muksak Lav Shari Bechor Rotsa Shari Bechor Rotsu Hu L'Shabi Nechas of Laviv L'Gamri Uba'in Yafa Gomer Makni Nechas of Laviv Kdeshiav Muksak Bach Milva V'Yitol Balsam Pishnaim Odilma Lo Shami Shar Milva Hilkach Palgi. The two tzadim are, on the one hand, it's a loan that's owed to the father, and we always say that's considered Ra'wi, that's not considered Muksak. On the other hand, the Bechor was the one that owes the money to the father. It's in his best interest that it should already be Muksak B'Yad Aviv. He wants it to be muchzak b'yad aviv, because then he'll be able to get pishnayim from it. So maybe we assume that he has such a gemiras das that he wants his father to be muchzak in it, that it's that's enough to make it that his father is actually muchzak in it. So that's why we split it. Now before we move on, Tosos over here, the second Tosos on the page on Kuf Chaf Hayam and Beis, Amar Rav Papi Chassid Deina Bal Nota Broikam Muchzak Aval Shevach Notel Kedipirush Mekuntros. Tosos has an important chiddush that even though a Baal does not get the Yerusha of his wife that's only ra'wi to come to his wife, he only gets that which was already muchzak biyad ishto, but if the improvements are made to his wife's properties after she dies, the Baal does get that, even though his wife never saw those improvements never happened while she was alive, he does get that. And even though a Bechor would not get pishnayim of such a thing, a Bechor would not get pishnayim of improvements that are made to the property of his father after the father dies, when we say that a Baal does not get peroi kebimuchzak, it's not exactly the same rules as saying that a Bechor does not get pishnayim peroi kebimuchzak. What we define as ra'wi in the context of Baal, and what we define as ra'wi in the context of a Bechor are not exactly the same. A Baal will get the shevach that they're mashpiach the kark afterwards. Kivin de niyorish alu zocha ben chasa miyad, or b'reshuso ba ha-shevach, since he immediately becomes the owner of that property, and while he's the owner, the improvements are made, lach ilo chashm asis and barikesh Bechor, gavehanu de not b'roike b'muchzak mishum de Baal yesh lo shevach. And he says, and that explains why in the Mishnah Maseches Pechoros, when it lists off those who do not receive Baro'i Kibamuchzak, a husband is left off of that list. Well, we just said that we pass Paskin, that husband does not get Baraika B'Mukhsuk. Why isn't he on the list in the Mishnah B'Charos of those who do not get Baraika B'Mukhsuk? So Tos points out, because the definition of what's called Ra'ui is different for the husband. So there is a certain type of Ra'ui that he does get, namely Shevach, that happens to the property afterwards. V'ad dinami delo shakil bal b'milvas ishto, afil b'mashalav se ishto minichse melug. The Baal will also not be zocha in the milva, because that is considered ra'oi when it comes to the Baal. Now Tosos in the first wide line says, wait a second, couldn't there have been a more concise way of the Gemara paskining all of these halachos? We make all these different statements. The Baal does not get baroika b'muchsak. The Bechor does not get baroika b'muchsak. The Bechor does not get pishnai of a milva, regardless of whether it's karak or most, three separate statements. Ask Sosos. What is the change to one side? Vein notum b'milva. Mishum degabi b'char. Mishnah shleimu hi b'bacharos dein notum b'roi. Aval bal dein notum b'roi. Lo ashkech lo mishnah v'lo b'raisa elameimra. He says the reason we don't throw it all together and put it in a single statement is that when it comes to a b'char, there's an actual mishnah about this in Maseches B'charos. When it comes to a bal, there's no b'ferish mishnah about it in anywhere and no b'raisa about it. It's a meimra of Amoraim, so you can't just put them in the same sentence because they're not on the same level. If one of them only came in the days of the Amoraim that they were Mechadesh, this din, that's not the same as having a Beferish of Mishnah. So that's why we have to divide up the two different dinim. Okay, on that last point, that Milva She'imo Palgi, so the Rashbam had explained, why is it that Milva She'imo Palgi, why is it that they divide the money that the Bechor owed his father, the Chelek Bechora of the money that the Bechor owed his father, because it was Mamon Omutl Besafik. We don't know whether he's really, it's just like any other loan and is considered Ra'oi, or the Bechor really wanted his father to be Muxlik in it, and that's enough to make it that it's Muxlik. If you look at Tosus, though, Tosus makes it very clear, Lo Mishum Dekai Malon Mamon Omutl Besafik Cholkin. He says this is not based on the principle of Mamon Omutl Besafik Cholkin. Because we don't paskin that way. Meaning, what do? When we have a suffix about dinei mamonos, so typically we say, Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So if the Bukhar is muchsak in this money, and you really weren't sure what to do with it, the Bukhar would be able to keep it, because he's the one that's muchsak in it. We don't paskin like sumchus. Ela takanas chachamim hi hacha. Umakum shemufurish behedya decholkin. Rather, this is a special takanas chachamim, that there were certain exceptions to the rule, certain rare circumstances, where even though normally we would not say momen omutl besafik cholkin, because we would never say that, we would never paskin momen omutl besafik cholkin, but special rare circumstances where we're going to make a special takana, that's going to be the case, that they're going to make a chaluka, even though that's not really the ikar adin. Okay, says the Gemara now, a top line of Kuf Chav Vav Amar Aleph. Amar Avuna Amar Avasi. Bukhar Shemicha Micha. If a Bukhar already made his Macha'a, which means he already said, I want to divide the property now and get my Chelek Bukhar now from the way the property is, well, that is a valid Macha'a, and therefore anything that the other Yisomim do to the property from then on, they are doing for the Bechor to get Pishnayim of whatever improvements they're making. Meaning, normally, you're right, when the Yisomim go and they make a Shevach to the property, they improve the property, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of those improvements. But that's only because the Bechor didn't make a claim on his Pishnayim yet. Once he already made a claim on his Pishnayim, he is entitled to the Pishnayim of anything that comes as a result of that property going forward. As Rashbam says, Amar Funam Ravasi, Afal Gavdu even though there was no one who argued that any Shevach that the Yisomim improve on the property, they inherited a field and all of a sudden they plant a vineyard there, they plant wheat there, or they build a hotel there, everyone agrees the Bechor would not get Pishnayim of such a thing. But if the Bechor says, wait, don't do anything to the property, let's split it right now, I'll get my chelik pashur and chelik bechora. I want to build my hotel on that property, and that way I'll get all of the shevach of my property. And they ignore him, and they continue to just build on that property. Sahare michaben v'yitol pishnayim. He will be entitled to pishnayim of whatever it is that they built up. Askin lekaman yeshul bechor pishnayim. Kodem chaluka mishar shechafetz lzakos bebuchoraso. He is entitled to pishnayim as soon as he wants it. Varei chafetz litol chelko lialter. He wanted it in this case immediately. Vizoche bechelk bechoraso miyad, and therefore he immediately becomes entitled to it. Kol makam shehu, wherever he may be, hilkach nechasin didei ashpach. So what they did by building on it was they were mashbiach his nechasim. They were not mashbiach their own nechasim. They were mashbiach his nechasim. Amar Rabba mistaver taimei de Ravasi ba nava mubatshum. It's mistaver that Ravasi is correct. If there were grapes on the property and they decided to be botzer the grapes, they decided to harvest those grapes after the Bukhara had already said, I want my pishnayim, so the Bukhara is going to get 2/3 or whatever, a double portion of those grapes. Zesum umaskum, or if it was a case of olives that they harvested, aval drachum lo. But if after they harvested the olives and the grapes, they then took the next step and they made wine or oil out of it, that the Bukhar does not get pishnayim of the oil or the wine. Why not? Says the Rashbam, of drachum al manas zakos hein b'shevach dricha lo shakal b'char pishnayim kiditnan hagozel etzim v'asan kelim mishalim kshas hagzela dekanya b'shinui. The halacha is that if you are mishanis something that you have stolen, you change its physical makeup to the point that it doesn't resemble at all the item that you originally stole, so then you only owe it as it was when you stole it. Whatever shinoi you made, the gazlan has been kona. The Rashbam says, so these yisomim were kona b'shinoi. They took this property, these grapes, and they stole them. It's true, they stole them. So they owe the value of the stolen grapes to the Bukhar. But whatever increase in value the grapes went through, because they've now been made into wine, that was already a shinoi, that they've been kona, that they divide evenly, that they're not going to have to give pishnayim to the Bukhar. Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh, however, Rashbam quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, Bukhar Shemich Avamra Eini Mevater Chelik Bukhara. If a Bukhar says, I will not be Mevater, my Chelik Bukhara, Dayo, Vein Tzarech Limchos Pam Acheres, and he will not have to ever say anything again, that's enough. Va'amar Rabba Hani Mili, Kishemich Abba Anavim Mubatsum Zesum Umaskum, Hu Dein Tzarech Limchos Lo Pam Acheres. We're not saying over here, says Rabbeinu Chananel, that if they turn it into wine, that the Bukhara has no rights in it. What we're saying, that the Bukhara has no rights in the Pishnayim, what we're saying is that the Bukhara, if they turn it into wine, cannot just rely on his original macha'a. The fact that he once spoke up, and he once said, I'm not being mevater, my pishnayim will be enough if they're doing some basic avodos of just harvesting the grapes, harvesting the olives. But if they start going a step further, and they start turning into oil and into wine, then he cannot rely on his original macha. If they start turning it into wine, then they start dividing it up, and he didn't say anything, then he's already been mevater. Says Rashbam, but I disagree with Rabbeinu Chananel on this for several reasons. V'lo nihira, v'lo nihira li. Chada, da'afilu lo micha, lo hivsid chelik b'chora, ad she'itol chelik ba'achas min asados, kipashut k'dil kaman. First of all, a b'chor is not assumed to be mochel, his chelik b'chora, no matter what. We never say that the b'chor is a requirement to make a macha, that he's not being mochel, his chelik b'chora. The only way we ever assume he's being mochel, his chelik b'chora, is if he actively is mochel, his chelik b'chora. That they actually divide up one of the fields, and he says, you know what, let's divide this one evenly, I'm not going to take my chelik b'chora. That's going to be a whole sugya in today's daf, whether that's considered to be that he's mochel all of his chelik b'chora or only in this field. But that's the only time we ever find that he's mochel his chelik b'chora. V'oz viter chelik b'chora b'chol nechassim. V'od ha'kati lo ayrin ala'el b'shum viter d'neima mekimen shemicha micha v'lo yivater od. We haven't been talking about being mevater chelik b'chora. That hasn't been the conversation. So why would you read that into this line? More likely, says Rashbam, comments like I originally explained, this is not about him being mevater, it's about what's considered shevach that the Bukhar is not going to be able to get pishnayim of, and what is considered shevach that he will be able to get pishnayim of. So if he says, I want to divide it right now, then he'll be able to get pishnayim of all the shevach, unless the shevach was done in such a way where it was mishana the item entirely because they turned it into wine. If you look at Tosos Avol Drachum Lo, the Pirsha Kuntras to Taim Mishum to Kana Bishinoi, Kasha, the Hechi Park Meikara, and Nav Mahashta Chamra, Heikal Man Yom Bagozal Kama, Shinoi Bimakoma Omeid. Meaning the Rashbam's explanation that he's Kona Bishinoi is somewhat makes the Sugya somewhat incomplete, because that idea that you're Kona Bishinoi is actually Machlokas. And if that's Pshar in our Gemara, that they're Kona Bishinoi, how come the Gemara never flushes that out? It never says, Bishlama Lamad Yomar, that there's such a thing that you're Kona Bishinoi. But what if you're Shinoi Bimakoma Omeid? The Gemara never really goes to that next step, so that's a little bit odd that the Gemara wouldn't do that. That's the Ha'ara that Tosas has. Anyway, says Gemara of Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Darchum, that even if they're Dorech, the Zesim, and the Anavim, even if they turn it into wine or oil, still the Bukhar is going to get Pishnayim of it, even once he's already said that he wants to divide the estate. Drachum, Mekari Invi Ashtachamra. Ask Gemara why? It's a Shinoi, so shouldn't it be something that he's not entitled to Pishnayim of, that they're already Kona? No, it means that they have to pay for the damage that they've done to his grapes, that he's going to get pishnayim of the grapes. So here also, that's what it means, that he's going to get the damage that was actually done to the grapes. That's all it means. That when Rav Yosef says that afilu drachum, he's not actually arguing on Rabba, who holds that a Bukhar does not get pishnayim of the yayin. He agrees the Bukhar does not get pishnayim. He's just saying that if the Bukhar made the macha on the pashut that he wants to divide up the grapes, and the pashut went ahead and was dorech the anavim without the Bukhar's permission, and it therefore went down in value, he gets to be paid back for the decrease in value for the damage done to his grapes, kineged chelek b'charaso, because he owned twice as much of those grapes as any of the other brothers. So says Mar, wait, we just referred to some statement of Rav Ukva. Where did Rav Ukva, and we said, oh, just like Rav Ukva said over there that he's getting demei hezekah navav, same over here. Hecha itmar de Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Where did Rav Ukva Bar Chama ever make the original statement? So, Hadam Rav Yudam Shmuel, he said it in the following context. Bukharu Pashat Shinyech Len Avien, Anavim Ubatsum. If a Bukharu Pashat are left by their father some grapes, and they harvest them, Zesum Umasakum, or olives, and they harvest them, Bukhar Notel Pishnayim, the Bukhar gets double of the value of those grapes and those olives, as long as he initially said he wanted to split the estate, and they subsequently harvested them, afilu derachum, even if they turn them into wine or oil. So the Gemara is understanding that the Bukhar gets pishnayim even in the wine and the oil. So the Gemara says, why should that be the case? Derachum, meikar invi hashtachamra. If they already dorech them, then there, it used to be grapes, now it's wine, it's a whole shinoi meisa, and therefore you should not get pishnayim. They should have been kone with a shinoi. So Amar Maruk v'barchama, that's where Maruk v'barchama originally made a statement that to explain Shmuel that he doesn't mean they get pishnayim of the yayin, rather, litin l'dmei hezekah navav, that he gets reimbursed for the damage that was done to his grapes. Good, so now the Gemara is going to discuss a Bechar being mochel. Again, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, we've already been discussing a Bechar being mochel, but according to the Rashbam, the way we read the Gemara, we have not yet been discussing a Bechar being mochel. So now we're going to discuss if a Bechar is mochel, his pishnayim. Sometimes you have a Bechar that if the father did not leave a halachic will that sees to it that everyone gets 100% evenly, which is the way we generally try to encourage people to do. Sometimes they'll have a Bukhar who will insist that he only wants to get exactly what his brothers get. So to make sure that there shouldn't be any machlokas. So sometimes he'll want to be mochel. So when do we know if he's really being mochel on everything? He's allowed to do that. So Amar Ravasi Bukhar shenot al chelek kepashut viter. If a Bukhar gets a chelek of a particular property and he takes it like a pashut, and he says, I want the chelek of this property the same way a pasha does. He has been mevater on getting any extra. My viter, what does it mean? He's been mevater. Rav Papa Mishpeit Rav Amar viter ba'os asada. It means that he can no longer come back and claim pishnayim of this field. He's already been mevater on this field by agreeing to accept a chelek pashut. But Rav Papa Mishpeit Rav Amar viter bekala nechasim kulan. No, it means if he's willing to take only a single portion of this field, it means he's been mevater on his chelek b'chora in every field, in the entire Yerusha. That is the assumption. That's the assumption of his das, that he means to be mochel in the entire field. Rashbam points out that even Rav Papa agrees that's what he means to do. That when he says I'm being mochel in this field, he really means he's being mochel on the entire field. The question is, does his mechila work on everything else? If it only came into play already in practicality, in actuality, on this field. So Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Amar Viter Ba'os Asada Kasavra Ein Lo Bechor Kodem Chaluka. Ein Lo Bechor Kodem Chaluka. That a Bechor doesn't have anything before the Chaluka. So therefore, as Rashbam explains, he doesn't own his chelik b'chora before they divide it up. Rosh Ram explains, until he actually gets, it says laseislo as a lashon of matana. So until he's actually received the matana, it's not yet his. Hilka chay sada shabali yado chelko mimena vayla lezakos bo chelik b'chora tashas chalukahu v'krinu be laseislo hilkach matzi machil. So that which was already given to him, they've already divided this field, and at the time of the kabbalas matana, he didn't take his chelik b'chora. Yeah, that's a mechila. Aval b'shar nechasim. But all the other properties that they haven't touched yet, lo matzi machil, he's not able to be machil because it's not his yet. This is based on the principle of a person not being able to be machna davar shelo bal yolam. You can only be machna that which you already own. When does he become the owner of the chelek b'chora? Only when he receives it as a matana, only when they divide it. So if they haven't touched the other properties yet, he does not own that chelek b'chora. He therefore cannot have an effective mechila on that chelek b'chora. Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava Amar Viter Bekala Nechasim. He's Mevater Bekala Nechasim Kulan. Why? Kasavar Yesh Lo Bechor Kodem Chaluka. That's based on the Lamdus that a Bechor is already the owner of his Chelik Bechorah even before they do the Chaluka. As Rashbam explains over here, V'alfagav the Chelik Pashut Ein Lo, Tak Siv Laseis, even though he doesn't yet own his Chelik Pashut, because the Pasuk does say Laseis, a Lashon Matana, Mishas Shemes Ha'av Hu Ra'u Elit Ein Lo. He already is Ra'u to get the Chelik Bechorah from the time of the death of the father, Hilkach b'bechor tal yemilsud b'shoshi yirtza yizka b'chelko. Whenever he decides he wants his chelek, he gets it. Ukadar malel b'chor shemicha micha. Just like we said before, that he can make his claim that I want to divide it right now, and that's it. He now owns pishnayim. Vilkach yesh kach b'yadu limchol kol shav. If he can make the claim at any moment that he wants his pishnayim, he can be mochel at any moment that he doesn't want his pishnayim, and that would be fine. Kol shoshi yirtza dainu davar shabal yolam. It's considered a davar shabal yolam, v'anan sahadi, and we have an assumption that if he's being mochel in this field, he's being mochel on all the fields. That is a binding mechila. And again, both Rav Papa and Rav Papi agree that that's what he means to do. The question is he empowered to do that? It's only if it's already considered his that he's empowered to do that. Interestingly, this machlokes Rav Papi and Rav Papa was not actually said explicitly about this case. Ela mechlala itmar, we were able to derive their positions on this issue from an entirely different conversation that happened in the context of an actual Maisa Shahaya. There was a Bukhar that went ahead and sold all of the father's estate, his chelek, his brother's chalakim, everything. Completely wrong, and there's no doubt about it. There's not going to be a machlokas whether you're allowed to do that. He certainly was not allowed to do that. He just decided, to take the entire estate and liquidate it. And he figured, okay, we'll split the money later. So the children of the Pashut, let's say the Bechor's brothers died, and now his children stand to Yarshin, their father's portion of the grandfather's estate. So they went to the to the fields, and they started eating tamarim. They started eating produce off of those fields. Mehanu lukuchos mechunu, and then the lukuchos who bought it started beating them up. Started saying, "Get out of here! We bought this field." So amilu krovim lo mistayed zavntinu lenechsayu elamim chanami machisalu. It's not enough that you illegally purchased this property, but without getting permission from our father, without getting permission from the pashut, now you're going to beat us up over it as well for trying to take what's rightfully ours. Asul kame de Rava. So they came to Rava, Amar lehu lo asa v'lo klum. Says Rava, the original mechira that the Bechor made is a completely invalid mechira. It has no halachic standing whatsoever. Mar savar, so we assume that mar savar lo asa klum bepalga. Rav Papi assumes, what did he mean, lo asa v'lo klum? That lo asa v'lo klum bepalga, meaning in his chelek of the half of his chelek of the Yerusha. The Yerusha of the Bechor has two portions. There's his Chelek Pashut, that he gets like the rest of his brothers, and his Chelek Bechorah. Before the Chalukah, he's not Zoche in the Chelek Pashut, and he's not entitled to sell the Chelek Pashut. But the Chelek Bechorah, he's able to get as soon as the father dies. So that he's allowed to sell. So that's what it means. Los v'lo klum on the Chelek Pashut, because that he doesn't have any rights to until Laseislo, until they actually give it as a Matana. But his Chelek Bechorah, that he's entitled to right away. Umar Savar Bekulhu. And Rav Papa holds, no, it's his entire sale is invalid even on the Chelek Bechorah, because even as far as the Chelek Bechorah goes, he doesn't own any of it until the Shas Matana, until the time that they decide to divide it. So you see, there it is. That's the machlokas about whether his mechila is going to work on all the properties or not. Does he need to have taken possession of it in order for his chelek bechorah to belong to him, to be able to be mochlit, or to be able to sell it for that matter? So it's the same machlokas, it's the same issue. Shalch mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, bechor shemachar kodem chaluka, lo asa klum. If a bechor sells prior to the chaluka, it's totally invalid. Alma ein lo bechor kodem chaluka. It sounds like Rav Papa, that a bechor does not own anything prior to the chaluka. Vilksa yesh lo bechor kodem chaluka, but the Gemara says, we paskin, that a bechor does have ownership of his chelek bechora before the chaluka, and therefore he is permitted to sell it before the chaluka. Tosfos of here, lo asa klum bepalga, says tos pirsha kunshus bechelek pshitusau v'kolshkin bechelek pshitusachin, that certainly he did not have the right to sell even his chelek pashut, and kal v'chomer the chelek pashut of his brothers. V'ein nira, says Tosfos, the chelek pshitusau pshita demachar. Wait, his own chelek pashut, that for sure is a binding sale. Could the karmelel ma chelek pashut afelgav de lo asi liyade? So chelek pashut, even though he did not take possession of it, he's allowed to sell it. El nira de lo asav lo klum bepalga haynu bechelek pshitus achin, avel chelek bechorah machar vekol shken chelek pshitusav. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that any part of whatever was destined to come to him, the sale would be valid on. It's only not valid on the parts that were supposed to go to his brothers, but his chelek bechor and his chelek pashut, it's both a binding sale. Umar savlas v'lakum bekulu lo chelek bechor v'lo chelek pshitus achin. And the other shita is that no, it's binding on nothing, not his chelek bechor and not his chelek pashut. Ach tema the lemad yamalas v'lakum bepalga haynu bechelek pshitus achin my kamash milan rava v'chel chelek achin hutzuchli shael. Tos just says, if I'm correct that that's the pshat, that we're saying loss of lo klum bepalga means that he was not authorized to sell his brother's portions, what's the big chiddush? Of course he's not authorized to sell his brother's portions. He has no rights whatsoever in his brother's portions. So that's the difficulty in that line, according to Tosos. Anyway, Marzutra Madrishpa, Marzutra from a certain place called Madrishpa, Palag Betzana de Pilpuli Bahadiachin Beshava. He divided with his brothers a basket of peppercorns that they got Yerusha from their fathers, and they divided it evenly, even though he was a Bechor, and he only took like the rest of his brothers. Asal Kameh de Ravashi, they came to Ravashi to ask the Shaila, okay, now when we divide the rest of the estate, has he given up his Chelek Bechorah? Amalei, Hol Vitarta Bemiksas, Vitarta Bekolan Chasim Kuh. kulan. Yeah, that is the natural assumption, that once he's been mevater on any part of his chelik b'chara, we assume he's been mevater on his chelik b'chara entirely, and therefore you could divide the whole rest of the estate 100% evenly. Good, now new Mishnah. Ha'omer ish ploni b'ni b'char lo yitol pishnayim. Let's say a guy says, I want my b'char not to get pishnayim, or he says, ish ploni b'ni lo yirushimachiv. I want a certain one of my sons not to get Yerusha together with the rest of his brothers. Maybe that child is more wealthy than all the other siblings and he feels like he doesn't need the money and the other brothers do need the money. I don't want him to get any of the Yerusha. Lo amar klum. Shehisna mashkas b'torah. Such a statement is totally invalid. He's being masal mashkas b'torah. There is a machlokas tanaim, whether a person is able to be manchil his Yerusha to one son at the expense of all the others. Chum say that you're not allowed to adjust the dina Yerusha at all, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Broka, we're going to learn in about a week from now, less than a week from now, Rabbi Yochanan Broka says that you're allowed to be manchil b'toras Yerusha to one son over the others, to ben abanim, etc. This Mishnah works even according to that shita, because he could do it, but only b'derech achiyuv, by giving it to one of the children, but not b'derech shlila, not by saying I'm avoiding giving pishnayim to the b'char. I am not giving to the son. It has to be positive. It has to be I am giving to the other one. That's Rabbi Yochanan Broka Shita. It can only be done in such a way. It can only be done in a positive statement way, not in a negative statement way. So our Mishnah is not against that Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Hamachalik nechas v'alpiv. If a person is dying and he decides b'derech matani, he wants to divide up the estate, riba le'echad u'miyet le'echad, and he starts giving away and he gives a little bit more to one son and a little bit less to another son from what he's supposed to get, meaning he doesn't follow the dinei Yerusha, v'hish v'le'enes ha'bechar, or he decides to make the bechar like everybody else, dvar of kayam, and that works perfectly fine because he can give a matana to whoever he wants, he's still alive, v'yamamar mishum Yerusha lo'or maklum. But as soon as he says that this is a Yerusha, then it's not going to work. He cannot say that a Yerusha is going to be any different than the dinim of Yerusha in the Torah. But if he says a lashon of Yerusha, but he also writes a lashon of matana, so then it's going to work, and we're going to see what that means exactly. But that's the last line of the Mishnah, that if he says some sort of combination of a lashon Yerusha with a writing of a lashon matana, then it's going to work to redivide the estate, not along the lines of the halachos of Yerusha. So right away the Gemara says, wait a second, this whole idea of making a Tanai that the Dine Yerusha are not going to be followed, that sounds very much like this belongs in the Sugya of Masal Mashkas B'Torah. Can a person make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah? So Lem Masnisin Delok Rabbi Yehuda Di'ik Rabbi Yehuda Ha'amr B'Dav Shalom Tano Kayim. Our Mishnah assumes that we are not able to make a Tanai against the Dine Yerusha. That's against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a person is generally not allowed to make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah, unless it's about a monetary issue. About dine mamonis, a person is allowed to be masna al masha kasa b'Torah. So it's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and we normally paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a little bit strange that our Mishnah is shalok halacha. Our Mishnah is going against Rabbi Yehuda, which is the way we normally paskin. Where do we find this machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Titania, we have a brisa. Homer li ishare mukadeshas li al masha lechalai sherksus va'ona. A person says, look, I'm interested in getting married, but I'm just not interested in any of the responsibilities of marriage. It's a fairly common thing. I would like to get married. I just don't want any of the responsibilities that go along with marriage. I'm not interested in she'er, ksus, fiona. But other than that, I'm perfectly happy. Harezu mukadesha. So that the halach is that they're married, utno batal. But his tanai is absolutely invalid. Divrei Meir. That's Rav Meir Shita. These are the chiyuvim that a husband has to his wife. Mida oraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah. She'erak susav onasa. That he cannot take away from her sher ksus and ona. The Gemara in Ksubas elaborates on what each of these things are. She'er is mizonos, ksus is what it sounds like, it's clothing, and ona is tashmish. It's the ona amur b'tar, it's tashmish. So there are other shitos in Tanaim, but that's what we generally assume. So these are obligations midoraisa that he has, and he cannot get out of these obligations. Rav Meir says, Rav Yehuda Omer b'davar shel mamon tano kayim. Well, two out of those three things are monetary issues. So on the monetary issues, as long as she goes along with it, you know, and he made such a tanai, she accepted the kiddushin under such a condition, so then the tanai is going to be kayim, the tanai is going to work. Now, it happens to be the Gemara Maseches Makos says it really depends how you formulate these things. You know, if a person were to say the Gemara at the beginning of Makos Daf Gimel Beis says if you say Almanas She'ein Bo Ona'a versus Almanas She'ein Lecha Alai Ona'a. You say Almanas She'ein Bo Ona'a means you make a deal with someone that I'm selling you this Almanas that there should be no such thing as Dinei Ona'a. Well, you can't say that. There are Dinei Ona'a. You can't. But if you say Almanas She'ein Lecha Alai Ona'a that you will not have any claims of Ona'a against me, so such a thing could work. So the Rishonim point out that there is a way to formulate it, meaning if you want to get out of it, you want to make it work, then you could say, I'm not being masal mash kaz b'torah, I'm not saying these dinim don't exist, I'm just saying you should never come to me with a claim of such dinim, and that way we'd be able to be miyashiv, that such a tanai would actually work, but for whatever reason we're not miyashiv that way. So again, Rabbi Yehuda says, b'dav shel mamon tano kayim, that it does work. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could be masal mash kaz b'torah, b'dav shel mamon. Says Gemara, filu teim Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah might even be assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, Hasam Yada and Kamachla. Over there, the woman knew what she was getting into, and for whatever reason, she chose to be Mochel and to accept such conditions. Hacha lo Kamachel, but over here, the son who's not getting his proper due of Yerusha, he was never Mochel, that portion of the Yerusha that he's not getting. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Ish Ploni Bini Bechorihu. If a guy says, this son is my Bechor, notal Pishnaim, he is my Bechor, he gets Pishnaim. But he says, Ish Ploni Bechorhu. He doesn't say my Bechor, he says, this son of mine is a Bechor. He does not get Bishnaim because he might mean firstborn of the mother. Who doesn't come to Rabbi Baruchana? Amrle Muchzakni Bezeh Shu Bechar. A guy came and he said, I'm Muchzak in this one that he's the Bechar. Amrle Minayadati says, how do you know that he's the Bechar? Davakari Leavua, Bukhrasikhla, because his father always calls him his moron firstborn. He always calls him his foolish firstborn son. So Dilma Bukhradi Imahu, they call Bukhradima Nami Bukhrasikhla Karilu. No, very often that means the mother's firstborn, because that's common, that he'd call the mother's firstborn the moron son. So the Rishon point out, it doesn't mean moron necessarily. It's like a hadas shota. Hadas shota means that it's just off. It's different. It's strange from a regular hadas. So it means he's not like a regular bechor. He's only a bechor of his mother. He's not a bechor of his father. How do you know this guy's a bechor? Because when we came to his father, he said, oh yeah, go to my firstborn son, Shiv, and he will spit in your eye, and it will be refua leinayim because he has this saliva that's refua. V'dilma bukhra de'imahu, but maybe he just meant the firstborn of the mother. No, gemiri bukhra de'ima, the abba masiruke bukhra de'ima lo masiruke. Whatever that means, they used to assume a firstborn to a father, his saliva has therapeutic value, but a firstborn to his mother, his saliva does not have any therapeutic value. That Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at Amar Rabbi Ami.